We're going to have our Bible reading now. Who's reading? Someone's reading.
Hey,
Tina. She did tell me yesterday, but I completely forgot. You're all the way there. Thank you.
When Rob asked me, sent me this passage that I'm going to read, I was absolutely delighted because this woman is ace completely. She's amazing. And, you know, God, Jesus came for the whosoever, and she was the whosoever. You couldn't get much lower than where this woman was. But Jesus spoke to her, and then she went and told all her friends everything. First evangelist, and she were a woman. So how wonderful is that? So I'm going to read John 4 and 1 to 30. John 4, chapter 4, 1 to 30. I don't know what it is in your pew Bibles. I'm sorry. I've let you down. Okay. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she said. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not see. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking to a Samaritan woman. What do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, like this bit, the woman went back in the town and said to the people, come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't often play and preach at the same time. Well, you can't do both at the same time, but you know what I mean. So it's just an extra treat for you. I also don't preach longer normally than about 20 minutes. But today you get slightly more blessing from me, okay? So there we go. Have we got any younger folks in? Yeah, at the back. Or young at heart. So I have a challenge for you. So there is a word coming up, and I want you to count the number of words that's mentioned. All right? I'll come back to it. So when I'm looking for a passage to preach on, I always kind of look for a confirmation of that word, that scripture. And today was no exception. So I was doing a bit of housework, and I was praying as I was doing my housework, and I was doing one of those jobs that you kind of put off. I was getting the scale off my bathroom tap. Yeah, you don't like that either, do you? Okay. So that's what I was doing, and I was praying, Lord, is this really what you want me to preach on? And then I started to laugh. And God normally gets me laughing over silly things. That's the way that we kind of connect. So as I was cleaning the bathroom tap and praying and asking, the word that I have for you is thirst. Thirst. So those who want a challenge, if you want to count the number of times I said thirst or thirsty, that's your challenge, should you choose to accept it. That perhaps tells you a little bit about my quirky sense of humour, how God and I kind of connect. That's just the way it is. We live with it. We're quite happy. You may connect in equally silly ways, I don't know. You can tell me if you do, so I don't feel alone and completely stupid, but there we go. So what does the Bible, the Word of God, have to say about thirst? It says a little about the way in how we behave towards others. And Proverbs 25 Verse 21 says this, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Romans 12, verse 17 and onwards, quoting from Proverbs, says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't think that we're meant to offer someone a drink to heap burning coals on their heads. That's not quite the point of that text. But that would make serving coffee after the service slightly interesting, wouldn't it? But, there you go. But rather it's about letting God be the judge. It's to him that we are all answerable. And I'm sure we have all been in that situation where we thought about seeking revenge. Perhaps just in a tiny way. But we've all thought it because we're all human. The Bible tells us not to do that. In short, it says we'd end up in sin if we did. And two wrongs certainly don't make a right. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I remember as a teenager having a very annoying maths teacher. I should say sorry to Susanna, shouldn't I? I know she teaches maths. But she used to really wind me up. And I don't know what it was about her, but she was quite a feisty character. And she was also the deputy head of an all-girls grammar school, so perhaps she needed to be a little bit feisty. And I found myself, as I was praying, actually admiring her strength of character. She probably thought it a bit odd that every time I would see her, I'd always say hello. And even after school, I'd still say hello. And even after I'd left school, I'd still say hello to her. And perhaps all the other students would run in the opposite direction. That's how kind of feisty she would be. But there's something about praying, and praying for those that we struggle with, or who we would see as our enemies. There's something about it that changes how we feel about them, or at least should. And actually it helps us to see what's below the surface of what they're saying. You just put the volume up, just a tad. Matthew 25 and verse 35 to 36 says this about behaviour. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. When the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Clearly our actions to those who are thirsty is important. There's no caveat to who is thirsty, whether they're old or young, whether they're black or whether they're white, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, whether they've been in prison or done something that perhaps they shouldn't do. We are to treat them all the same. And if they're thirsty, we're to give them something to drink. If they're hungry, we're to feed them. We're to help them with their physical needs. But perhaps there's more to it. What about someone's spiritual needs? And as a church, surely that's what we're here for. To hunger and to thirst do, of course, go together. And physically, we can live without food for a little bit of time, but we can't live very long without water. Any guesses for how long we can live without food?
2 weeks?
2 weeks? No, a little bit longer.
3 months.
3 months. Wow, I'm impressed. You knew that. How long can we live without water?
3 days.
Yeah, a couple of days. So it depends on the environment, isn't it? If it's very hot, then we'd struggle. Without water, it could be a couple of days, depending on the environment. And spiritually, we might live without solid spiritual food for a while, living off perhaps what we've learnt before. But we all need spiritually feeding, meaty teaching, not just milk, which we give to babies. And of course, we also need spiritual water. Spiritually, we all struggle without water. And hang on in there if you're wondering what I'm going on about what spiritual water is, because that will become clear. The word thirst is also used in the form of a promise to us. From the Sermon on the Mount, we have, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Righteousness isn't about being self-righteous or holier than thou. It's about being right with God. Righteousness meaning right with God. We will be blessed if we hunger and thirst after being right with God, if we long to follow God's ways, we will not only be blessed by God, we are told we'll also be filled. Filled with what? Again, hang on in there if you don't quite understand. The Bible, or indeed Jesus, talks about thirst. And he talks about it as an invitation. Isaiah 55 and verse 1 says about thirsting after God, that longing, that desire to be in his presence. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Come, all you who are thirsty. It's an invitation to all of us. There are no barriers, not even money. But back to our main text. Back to John's Gospel. Jesus has been travelling from Judah to Galilee, and we're told that he had to go through Samaria. And he comes to a city called Sychar, which is modern-day Asker. I don't know if anyone's been there. I certainly haven't. But it's near to the area that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And the disciples had gone off to buy food. So Jesus is on his own. And that in itself is an unusual occurrence, Jesus being on his own. And he reaches Jacob's well, and he sits down, and it's noon, and he's hot and he's tired from the journey and he's thirsty. And the Samaritan woman comes along and she comes to the well and Jesus asks her for a drink. And the woman is shocked that he's speaking to her. And Samaritans were mixed race. They were descendants from pagans who intermarried with the few remaining Israelites. And she was shocked, shocked that Jesus was talking to her. Firstly, because Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And yet Jesus, a Jew, was here talking to her. Secondly, it's unusual for a woman to visit the well alone, and we assume that she was some kind of social outcast. It was unusual for Jesus to be on his own, and normally the disciples would be with him. Or there'd be crowds following him around. It was unusual for a Jewish man to have a conversation with a woman. But yet here is Jesus doing just that. The woman is confused as to why he's talking to her. And meanwhile, Jesus is breaking down these prejudices and these barriers. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water running up to eternal life. So here we have Jesus inviting the woman at the well to drink, not from the water in the well, but from a living water. A living water that he offers her. The water from the well is brackish. It's still. It's been sitting there a long time. It's dark in colour. It smells a bit. and it tastes tainted. And in contrast, the water that Jesus offers her is living water. It's fast flowing like a river. It flows fresh water that is pure and without taints or blemish. And she accepts the invitation and says, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to the well to draw water." And he told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replies. And Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." The woman doesn't quite understand what he's offering her. She's also astounded. He knows everything about her. And she quickly realizes that he's a learned man, he's a prophet. "Woman," Jesus replies, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am him." There's only one other occasion where Jesus is so blatant about who he is, that he is indeed the promised Messiah. And that's after his death and resurrection. Yet here he is revealing who he is, not to a man, but to a woman, a sinful woman who isn't even a Jew. And even the disciples wonder why Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman, let alone revealing to her who he is. The woman forgets her jar of water and she runs off to tell people and to encourage them to come and to meet this man, the man who told her everything she ever did. There's a further invitation for us all to come and to drink in John 7, verse 37. "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." The living water that Jesus is offering them continues to be offered to us today. The living water that Jesus offers is the Holy Spirit. He continues to offer the Holy Spirit to us today. What is offered to us is a filling of the Holy Spirit, not with a still, brackish, smelling water, but with the water that flows. The water flows like a river that will never dry up, but continues to flow. A river that is fast flowing of pure water. But it's an offer, it's an invitation. And we have to RSVP, we have to say yes or no. This is often used to describe as a longing for God. "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" So do we long and thirst for God to truly know him? Do we truly long and thirst for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit? Do we thirst after a long to be in his presence enough? It's only God who can truly satisfy our thirst or indeed hunger. Psalm 107 says, "For he, God, satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." The other evening, I really fancied a packet of crisps. I quite like crisps, a bit of my downfall. Anyway, I opened the cupboard door in search of crisps because I sent John down the shop earlier and he said, "Do you want anything?" And I said, "Yeah, I want some crisps." And I opened the cupboard door and guess what? No crisps. And there was, it's like, well, what do I do now? So I ended up with a curry-flavoured pot noodle-y thing. And it's like, did it crave my craving for crisps? No, it didn't. Randomly, I also work on a Friday when I work with the homeless, and one of the ladies that I work with, her husband invented pot noodles. Randomly, she said that to me the other day. We can truly satisfy ourselves with other things. We can't truly satisfy ourselves with other things. Only God can truly satisfy our thirst. And in the natural, our body needs water to live, but it also needs spiritual water to truly live well. We need the living water that Jesus offers us, that pure, fast-flowing living water that is the Holy Spirit. We all have a God-shaped hole in our lives, and we can try and cram that God-shaped hole in our lives with something else, but it's God-shaped. And nothing will quite satisfy us, or nothing will quite fit. Only God will fit. Without him, they will always feel like there's something missing. That's how we're designed. We're to live in communion with God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Try and fill our life with other things. Do it if you want. But it's only God that can truly quench our thirst. It's only the Holy Spirit that can truly quench our thirst. What is offered is free. Revelations 21 verse 6 says, "He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost, from the spring of the water of life.'" Revelation 22 and verse 17, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." It's free. This spiritual water is free. This thirst-quenching substance is free. A relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is free. It's a free invitation from Jesus, the man who knows everything about us and everything we've ever done. And yet he still loves us unconditionally and will forgive us for all our wrongdoings. We just need to ask him. God is spirit. And his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we can't truly worship without the Holy Spirit. Not if we want to truly worship in spirit and truth. It's not about the songs, whether we sing hymns, whether something is repetitive or not. It's about the sincerity of our hearts. It's about the connection between us and God, our Creator. Worship is a point where God will fill us and refill us with his Holy Spirit. As we worship him and as we ask him, we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. and ask forgiveness for our sins, those things that we've done against God. But it is a living water, the fast-flowing tide of the Spirit that is meant to flow continually through us and out of us if we let him. There is a need to be constantly refilled, to constantly drink more of the Spirit, because we leak. We use that fuel, if you like. We give out. In the naturally and spiritually, we need to constantly drink, else we become dehydrated and dry. The same spiritually, we need to constantly be refilled with the Holy Spirit, because we become dry if we don't. I love to worship. Love it. For me, it's about just truly connecting with God and being in that place where we're one, about losing myself, if you like, about ministering through the overflow. So when the Holy Spirit bubbles up and then overflows. And that's what I think God wants for all of us, to be in that place where we overflow, where the Holy Spirit flows out of us, that we can give him away, if you like. The Holy Spirit isn't just meant to be kept for ourselves. It's to share. He's to share. Jesus is to share. So my question remains, how thirsty are we? Do we need to drink more of his Spirit? Is there enough for us to share with others? There is always a need for more. And there's always an invitation. But what is our RSVP? Is it a yes or a no? And how long will the invitation sit on our dining room table or whatever until we reply? How thirsty are we? How much of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus do we want in our lives? How much of him are we going to allow in? Just in this quiet, maybe you just want to surrender those things that you need to God, to ask him to fill you with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please fall on us, we pray, and fill us from the bottom of our feet to the top of our heads, to overflowing. May we continue to thirst after you, day in and day out. May we continue to offer the living water, that is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to those that we meet. Empower us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did anybody count the number of times I said Thursday? Yeah? 32. 41. 31. I don't know if this lead's going to... This is when you find out I lead the long... It was going to, there you go. Oh, I'll tell you how many times I said it. 'Well, I might tell you if I can find where I've written it. Or I have to go through my script and count them all up again. Where did I put that? Ah, there it is. 37 times, there we go. I said thirst or 30. And most of those were scripture. In fact, half of those were scripture, I think. So 16 times were in scripture references. That's a lot of thirst. Something to ponder. This is from Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, now and forevermore. Amen.